Okay, so this morning is the second part of our vision series. Last week, our senior pastor James spent some time, didn't he? If you were here last week, he was outlining our hopes and our dreams and our sense of direction for the next 12 months. And if you didn't hear it last week, then that talk will be available on our YouTube channels and podcast channels in the next couple of days, so do check that out. So that was last week. Last week we looked forward. This week we are looking back. We are looking back and we are celebrating. We're going to celebrate all that the Lord has done in the life of this church. Just before we get into that, though, I'm going to take a moment just personally because several weeks ago now, some of you will be aware of a situation in my life. Some of you know that my older sister sadly fell very, very unwell after the birth of her child in early January. Just a moment of celebration for us as well. Just let you know, if you didn't know this, that she is now out of hospital, which is wonderful news. Yeah. She's out of hospital, which is just wonderful news. And this weekend, Alice and I and our boys had the joy of seeing her, and our boys met their new cousin. It was just a really special weekend. So anyway, I'm speaking to you this morning from a place of my heart is just full of gratitude and celebration for all the Lord has done. And I just wanted to share that with you, because I'm also just conscious that some of you are like, what happened? You don't know. So I wanted to let you know that. But this morning is about the church, not just this site here at Central Morning, but the whole church. As you know, we're a multi-site church across the city, and we're going to celebrate lots of things. But I'm also just conscious as well, this is going to be a morning to celebrate all the Lord has done. But as we look back over the last year, I just want to take a moment as well. During the worship, I was just remembering that in the last year, we've also lost some loved ones, haven't we? And I was reminded of people who have been in this room worshiping with us. That was a beautiful time of worship. So it's a moment of celebration, but I also just want to acknowledge there has been loss in the last year as well. And that's really important to us. But every now and again, it is helpful just to take stock of where we are as a church. We look back together at all the Lord has done in us and through us. And just when we look back, that actually fills us with hope and vision for what comes next. It's when we take time to reflect on the Lord's faithfulness that we are filled with faith, expectation, line with David's word this morning, expectation and excitement for where he leads us next. It's where we kind of say, what is our heart's posture? We're saying, Lord, well, look, have your way, your will be done. And we say, Lord, thank you for what you've already done, but what is it that you will do next? And last week, James dived into that passage in Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. And James spoke of that sense that we have for the year ahead is to strengthen our stakes so that we can stretch out, that we can go bigger, to extend our reach and not hold back. And that vision remains undimmed. If you've been part of the church for any length of time, you will know our vision as a church is to restore the city of Cardiff, and renew the nation. We want to see transformation in Cardiff. We want to see it in South Wales and beyond. We want to be a people who are transformed to bring transformation, and we want to see lives changed by Jesus. That is why we exist. And there are so many stories to share. We do this every year as a staff team. We sit down, this is a little while back, we sat down as a staff team and we said, right, guys, what are the stories that have happened in the last year? What is it we've seen and heard? And in less than half an hour, as a staff team, we came up with over 50 stories of all that's been happening. And that was, you know, it's impossible to share all of them this morning. So this will just be a snapshot. But there are so many things that the Lord has done and is doing. But before I get into all that, let me just be clear. This is Jesus that we're worshipping, and Jesus deserves the worship and the glory. This is all him. These stories are all him. These are stories of his greatness and his glory. So we want to stop as a church family and celebrate together. But as we do so, it's not saying, look at us. Haven't we done well? Look at us as a church. It's not that. We're saying, don't look at us, look at him. Look at him, for he will be exalted, and he has done this. Because behind every number or event or statistic, behind it all is a life surrendered to Jesus. There's stories of people walking through our doors and finding a home with us, but most importantly, finding a home in Jesus. Now, in the last year, our language has changed slightly to bring more clarity to who we feel God is calling us to be as a people. So just as a reminder, some of you, I know you've got this tattooed, but if you don't, these are our values. We are captivated and compelled by Jesus, empowered by the Spirit and built on the word to be a grace-filled community, kingdom carriers, shameless worshippers who are courageously compassionate and outrageously generous. That's who we are called to be increasingly. So let's start with Jesus. We are captivated and compelled by Jesus. So in 2023, in the last year or so, as the best we know, between 120 to 130 people gave their lives to Jesus in and through this church. That is the right response. Well done, everyone. So what do we mean by this? Because I know sometimes when we like do figures like that, it can, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, can I scrutinize that? Well, it's never an exact science. But what we mean by that is when we look at all the commitments or recommitments to Jesus that we've heard about through people in our church, and that's a fairly robust number. So an example of that would be we have people in this site who regularly go in on our amazing prisons ministry around three local prisons in South Wales and over in Bristol. During the course of last year, we know that about 90 inmates made commitments to Christ or recommitments to Christ as part of the Sunday services we ran in prisons, which is wonderful, isn't it? We've also heard so many stories of people in the church, whether it's in youth, whether it's students, whether it's in workplaces, people who are saying yes to Jesus. Last year, as a church, we baptized 27 people. So we had lots of different baptism services. In the summer, our north site held a baptism in Porthcawl. The west site held one at Barry Island. Our young adults and students had baptisms at their weekend away last year. And two of our youth were baptized in their youth midweek celebration. Here at Central, we had baptisms here, didn't we? There you go. It was an amazing morning. We did have not one, but two leaky baptism pools, which was a joy. But no, it was amazing to, it's always a brilliant thing to baptize people. People saying yes to Jesus, repent and be baptized, like the Bible says. In addition to the baptisms, we had brilliant Easter and Christmas programs. You may remember last Easter, obviously Alice just talked about the Easter coming up. In this building, we had the stunning Good Friday reflections where our doors were just wide open to everyone and anyone who wanted to come in and reflect and immerse themselves in the Calvary narrative. Our Christmas services, again, hopefully a photo comes up. They were just incredible. We had over 700 people come along to our carol services, not to mention all the other Christmas events that we ran. Here at Central Morning, in our congregation here, we've had the joy of running newcomers' evenings. We had international lunches. We've launched neighborhood breakfasts, the community breakfast, which has been a lot of fun. And they are just a hallmark of our heart to connect specifically with our local area. At this point, I'd just love to invite Mark Epton up just quickly. He's going to share a couple of stories from the local area and our heart for it.
Thanks, Matt. So, yeah, like, I think as Matt's saying, we feel just so grateful and blessed to be in this building and, like, to call it our own now. And I think, like, over the last sort of year or so, many of us in the sort of leadership team have really felt a real burden for this area. Like, there's so many people who are around us who don't know Jesus and so many people who don't actually know that a church actually meets here. So we were thinking, how can we kind of interact with neighbours? How can we invite them in? And the idea that came out was we tried, as Matt said, our first neighbourhood breakfast, which was great fun. We've actually done two now. So I guess, like, throughout the week leading up to it, we knocked on, I think it was 1,300 doors on 11 streets around the gate and sort of delivered personal invites to each person there. We ordered a massive load of pastries from Lidl and had no idea if anyone was actually going to come or not. Put loads of pastries on, coffee, tea, all sorts. And it was just a joy to see so many people getting involved from our church, getting serving and just welcoming in the neighbours as they came. And there were just a few stories that kind of stood out over the morning, which I'd just like to share with you now, which some of the team sent over to me. So the first one is this. It says, I got to welcome a lady from our community in. She was telling me she'd never been in the building before, so it was nice to see it. She came early, showing us her invitation and made herself at home, as if she'd been here many times before. As we walked into the cafe area, she became emotional and started to cry. She shared with us that she'd suddenly recently had a family bereavement, and now, understandably, it's been really hard to get out and about and meet people again. I think she was just overwhelmed to see such a warm, friendly community here at the gate. She filled her plate with many pastries and enjoyed a morning of joyful conversation, staying for the whole service and connecting with a number of people. She left with a huge smile, having been served and loved. It was beautiful to see. And we're just so glad that the lady, wonderful Evelyn, has been with us ever since and a much loved member of our service here, really. And it's so great to have you with us here and to call it your community. We met another lady called Gemma, there's another story, who had moved into Kapok Street from Fairwater the very week running up to the neighbourhood breakfast. The very next day she moved in, an invitation for the neighbourhood breakfast came through the door. As soon as she arrived, she told us the timing of the invite could not have been more perfect, as she didn't know anyone else nearby and was found herself in desperate need for some community. Gemma kept telling us how overwhelmed she was by the welcome she received from everyone. And after chatting with Derek Lewis for quite a while about his faith in Jesus and herself being curious, she decided to come upstairs and come to the service and see what was actually going on. And personally, I actually caught Gemma at the end of the service and just asked her how she'd found it. And she told me that she started to well up as Matt, who's speaking today, shared the gospel message, and she'd heard it for the first time. And God was clearly at work in her, and she encountered the Holy Spirit for the first time. And she left that day saying that she couldn't believe our church community was just on her doorstep, and was hoping that she'd bring her partner along too one day. And there's just one last story I'd love to share, if that's okay, which wasn't to do with the breakfast, but to do with our local community. So basically, over the last sort of year or two, we've been connected with a number of people at the Rainbow of Hope, which is not far away on Broadway. And each week there, a number of people who are in our community sort of meet there for some food, get a hot meal, and also, as well as that, they get to hear the gospel every single week. And someone we've got to know there is a guy called Paul. And Paul would call himself an atheist, but he's open to be prayed for, and he loves a bit of debate about faith. So we love Paul. And we invited him to church many times, and he'd never come along. He said, oh, I might do one day, never came along. And I remember coming to church one Sunday, and at the back, I saw Paul was here. Like, Paul's appeared. What happened there? So we actually came to church, and I was looking at him, and he was just in tears, welling up, and looked in complete disbelief. And I was like, what on earth's going on here? So I went up to Paul and said, Paul, it's so, so good to see you. What's going on here? And he basically said to me how, basically, he'd been to the men's small group earlier that week for the first time, been invited along on a Wednesday. And at the end of the evening, the guys there had offered to pray for anything at all they wanted to pray for. And Paul was a bit reluctant, but he was like, look, I don't believe in prayer, but if you want to pray for something, I haven't seen my daughter in 15 years. It's going to be a miracle, and I'll believe in God if I see my daughter. So, and the amazing thing was, he goes, you wouldn't believe this, but I've come here to church. This is my daughter. And I haven't seen her for 15 years. And incredibly, she'd actually been invited by someone else in our community that very morning. So he came along, he met his daughter, and he actually met his granddaughter as well for the first time. It was just, I was blown away by that. So yeah, just to finish really, as Matt would say, like, we are just so excited about how God is drawing people into this community. And we want to open our doors as wide as possible and just invite people in to meet Jesus, be transformed, and just find this their home and become part of our community. So there you go.
There you go. How good is that? That's what we talked about, didn't we? Invite your world. Invite your world. You just never know what the Lord will do through one invite. Thanks, Mark. So what else has been going on? Let's take a look at some of our other values. Well, firstly, we are called to be a grace-filled community. And that's because the grace and forgiveness that God shows us means that we are welcome anyone, we forgive quickly, we love extravagantly, and we care for each other. The grace of God changes us, and we show this grace to the world around us. Myself, personally, I got a lovely glimpse of this, actually, on Vineyard Kids. I was on Vineyard Kids. Kids pastor in the room. I was on Vineyard Kids team last September, this was, and it was actually the day, the kind of transition day, where all the reception kids, the new reception kids, who are just starting, they literally just starting primary school that week, they're also going from our mini kids, which is our preschoolers that are meeting in this building, they're going over to the Mac. And another change that we've made in the last year is that some of you know that the worship team, after they finish in here, what they do is they then go and do worship with the kids, which is a brilliant thing that we now do, and the kids love it. But that particular day, it was the first day that the new reception kids were in with the really big kids. And some of them, you know, obviously take a bit longer to adapt. And anyway, the worship band came in, and the worship band were in particularly loud and boisterous form that day, I would say. And there was this amazing moment where the worship strikes up, and some of the big kids are bouncing around and getting into it. And then there is one rather small child, obviously his first time in there, one of these new reception kids, who looks a little bit startled. And a little bit like, I'm not sure what's going on. And before myself or any of the other team could get to him, before, like someone preempted us. one of the girls, one of the big kids' girls, one of the, I think, year fives at the time, had spotted him. She marched across the room, went next to him, and at that point she had, many of you know, in kids we provide ear defenders if any of the children need it, and this girl had been wearing her ear defenders. She went over to the boy, she looked him in the eye, she took off her ear defenders, she placed them onto the little boy, and then she stood with him right till the end of worship to make sure he was okay. Isn't that wonderful? And for me, it was just this little snapshot of like, it's all ages, isn't it? We get it. That's how we look after each other. That's how we care for each other. And we can learn a lot from our kids, don't we? So I just wanted to share that with you. That was beautiful. As a community, we are committed to learning to live like Jesus. And I've got really good news for you all, that in the last 12 months, we as a people, we looked more like Jesus than we did 12 months ago. I think that's good news. And the vision for the next 12 months? Well, in 12 months' time, we want to look back and say we looked even more like Jesus than we did today. That's the vision, and that is the direction of travel. We want, like I said earlier, we want to be transformed into his likeness. We want to be transformed to live lives that would look like the life that Jesus would live if he was leading our life for us. As a community, we've had lots of good stuff happening. We had 125 ladies came to the Women's Retreat Day with Sharon Darlow Brown. Myself and 70 other gentlemen came and had curry here just a few weeks ago. That was a great night. We have launched a men's football club in the church. We now have over 50 small groups across the church and across the city. We've recently launched our 20s and 30s network here at Central, as well as an over 60s cohort as well. On a Monday morning, we have Seedlings, which is a fantastic toddler group for everyone to come to, just meets in this building, totally free. Our students and young adults community continues to thrive. They just had their weekend away last weekend at Hebron Hall. There were so many stories from that. We could literally take all morning just sharing those stories. Great and amazing things, beautiful things are happening in all the different communities in this church, in this site, and right across the city. We want to be a church family where we do life together, all the ups and downs. We journey together as a grace-filled community, learning to live like Jesus. Secondly, we are called to be kingdom carriers. Kingdom carriers. This is the kingdom of God. We invite people into our gathered environments, but we also say we're going to go out. We're going to go out. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Jesus has given us his authority to go. He says, go. Some examples of this in the last year in our north site, we have started Street Cafe. That's where the team goes out on a Sunday morning. They leave the church gathering and they go out onto the streets. They serve tea and coffee, chat to people, invite them into church, off to pray with them, share faith, invite people to Alpha, whatever it is, they connect with people wherever they're at. The Street Cafe team in the north have seen healing. They've seen people come to faith. They've answered lots of questions and wrestled with lots of doubt on the street. It's a beautiful ministry. I'm going to put this into the room as part of our vision at Central. Until recently, we have run Street Cafe. At the moment, it's lying dormant. Perhaps there's someone in the room this morning. The Lord is stirring you to be part of us restarting Street Cafe. We'd love to see it come back. In our mini kids ministry, which, as I said earlier, is our preschool group, one of our parents shared this about their daughter. It was one of her first Sundays in Vineyard Kids, and they'd obviously been chatting about praying for healing, because when my foot was hurting the following week, she was really keen to pray for it. It was really encouraging for us because she hasn't been as keen before, but going into the mini kids environment has clearly really encouraged her and made an impact. Isn't that great from our under fives? And you'll notice another thing I just want to put into the room for us as a site. Already two of our stories have included our kids. One thing that we would love to see our heart over the next year is, at the moment, our kids team are incredible. But one thing we do notice, a lot of our kids team are quite young. They're quite young, especially over in our big kids and really big kids. And we would love our big kids to have some older voices in the room. Some real mothers and fathers, maybe some grandparents in the room as well. Just that diversity in the room, that's what we want to see. So again, maybe the Lord is stirring you this morning. It's like, could I be part of that? It's a beautiful thing when we see faith nurtured and growing from a really tender age. So we'd love to put that into the room. Here's another story. This is from someone in our west site. This is a story about being a kingdom carrier. I walked out of my office, I walked into my office, and one of my colleagues was just arriving, saying that she had bought heat pads to work with her because she was in severe pain with her back and down her legs. She wasn't looking forward to spending the day in pain. Before I had the chance to think, the words came out, well, I could pray for you. Sometimes God heals people when I pray. Cue some raised eyebrows in the room. She said yes, so I got to put a hand on her back and asked if it was okay to put my hand on her shoulder. I then prayed a really short prayer, no more than a couple of sentences, and asked her if there was any change. She said that she felt a bit weird and I asked if it was working. She said it could be, so I said, well, let's pray again. After another short prayer, she said that the pain in her back and leg had gone away. I let her know that it was Jesus that had healed her, and then we said a real quick thank you prayer. She was amazed. When she was about to go home, I said to her, I checked how she was feeling. She said she was feeling great. No pain, and she hadn't had to use the heat pads all day. I actually checked a couple of days later with her, and she said the pain had still gone, so the healing had stuck. Praise God. Isn't that incredible? That's just a snapshot again. Us as normal people, whether it's kids or adults, just doing the things that Jesus did, carrying the kingdom of God with us wherever we go. Just last week, I heard a story of someone in this congregation who had suffered a serious back injury. He'd ended up with 8 pins in his back, and this caused ongoing pain and shortness of breath. He received healing in the room literally right beneath us, in a small group, where 2 guys off to pray with him, and his back was healed, and it's been healed ever since. You might remember when I preached, this is about 6 months ago, I shared a story, an amazing story of healing in our Grow Baby stay and play group in Fairwater, of a child who had impaired vision and possible blindness. And one of the Grow Baby team at the Stay and Play in Fairwater off to pray with the child who was less than a year old, laid on hands, and the vision was restored. Sight fully restored. Speaking of Grow Baby, that leads us neatly onto our third value. We are called to be courageously compassionate. Grow Baby is one of our amazing Compassion Restore projects. Because we know as a church that God's heart is for the last, the least, and the lost. And that we are here to meet the ever-growing needs in this city, whatever it takes. We have been called as God's people to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians makes it clear, whatever you do, remember the poor. And Scripture makes it very clear that we are called to be a courageously compassionate people. It's not an extra, it's central to who we are. Many of you last year were part of our Love Where You Live campaign, which was a lot of fun. It was a privilege to run multiple projects across the city. I personally just loved, I think there's a photo, on the left, the beautiful simplicity of talking benches. Just the offer to say to people, like, maybe you need to talk. Loneliness and feeling isolated and marginalized is such an issue in our city. Just being available. And as you might imagine, we have so many stories coming out of our Restore ministries at the moment. Every week, we have amazing people in this church giving their time, their money, their energy, their resources to serve those who have less. We run a food co-op in this building downstairs every Tuesday. This building is very different on a Tuesday. It's where each week dozens of families, vulnerable families, people struggling to put food on the table come in and they are greeted with warm hospitality and dignity and respect and kindness. And they're able to get an affordable shop to put food on the table for their loved ones. Our Tiava project went through a really tough time in 2023. Tiava is our supported living house. It's not far from here for people coming from maybe a vulnerably housed or chaotic background. Last year was a season of real resistance for the Tiava project, but it has been beautiful to see the Lord's faithfulness to Tiava. And in the last little while, the project has been beautifully reimagined. We are now partnering with the Message Trust. Many of you will know that. And the house is now directly taking people who are coming out of prison and setting their life on a totally different track. And it's just been wonderful to see how the Lord has rebooted that project, totally reimagined it, and provided in amazing ways. Grow Baby, I mentioned Grow Baby earlier, but Grow Baby last year provided 350 families with over 500 packages to help the needs of children under the age of 5. We continue to run Friday mornings downstairs, the Stay and Play session. And we also, as I said earlier, have the Stay and Play session in Fairwater every Tuesday morning as well. We also have one other story that we have to share with you from our Restore projects. And this was from our DIY task force. Our DIY task force is a bit like, it's kind of our version of Stacey Solomon, Sort Your Life Out. That make sense? Which Alice, I don't say made me watch this week. Not quite made me. I enjoyed it. It was quite good. Yeah, Alice blessed me by letting me watch it. This is from our DIY task force, which goes in and kind of helps people when their house really needs a bit of TLC. This is 4 years ago. The DIY task force went into a woman's home to renovate it. She had two young children and was struggling with drug addiction, and her home was in a terrible state. 10 members of the task force blitzed it. They put in new carpets, sorted out the garden, and they did everything that needed doing that this woman wasn't able to do herself. One of the team left a Bible for her. And a few weeks later, she got in touch and said that she wanted to try going to church. One of those who'd been on the project had parents who lived near this woman. And she started going to the parents' church. It's not a Vineyard church. It's another church in the city. The woman kept going week after week. And eventually, she came to faith. She started following Jesus, and she was baptized. Now, while she was part of this church and taking her first steps in her faith, she was actually also coming off methadone in a slow and controlled way. And obviously, that can take months, if not years. One week, she lost her methadone, and she was facing full withdrawal. On the Sunday, she went to that church, and she asked them to gather around her and pray. And in that moment, she was set fully free from the addiction, and she has never taken it since. What's more, her partner, with whom she'd had a difficult history, began to see the change in her. He started joining her at church on Sundays, and he has now become a follower of Jesus and recently been baptized. Jesus changes lives. This is exactly what it should be like. People sacrificially serving her as part of the DIY task force has drawn her close to Jesus, and now we see healing, salvation, and a family restored. This is what it looks like to restore the city. Very quickly, we are called to be a people who are shameless worshippers. Shameless worshippers. I don't know if I need to say much more than just what happened this morning. We love to, when we praise God, we do so in a shameless way. And as we worship him, our shame comes off us. Alice and I saw this firsthand. We had the joy of being at DTI this year. DTI is the National Youth Festival that our youth and youth from around the country go to. And our youth were part of 3,500 young people, just as Dave Kemp, our youth pastor, would call it, absolutely flat out. That's how he'd describe it, absolutely flat out. But just to see the passion and in our young people worshiping Jesus is a beautiful thing. We've also had here, we had the, just over a year ago, we had the Kingdom Pursuit Conference, which was just such a special, if anyone was part of that, such a special time of worship and prayer and God breaking through. In November, we had a chance as a church to gather all together at the All In Glenwood, which was, again, an amazing time of worship and prayer. The ice creams were good as well, so we enjoyed that. We had Exaltim, which was 24 hours of continuous prayer in this building, which was very special. We introduced a new event this year, a new year, where we had over 40 people gather to worship into the new year, which was a lot of fun. And every week, we now have a group on a Wednesday morning who meet together to worship just for an hour, pure and undiluted worship. As a church, we've also started to release songs. There's a new EP coming out. We've already released Alabaster Jar, which is terrific. Holy One comes out next week. Soon. Good Friday. I've already heard it. It's fantastic. We love to be resourcing not just this church, but the wider church with our worship songs. Finally, we are called to be an outrageously generous church as well. We want to be a people that are defined by our generosity, both to each other and to the city. Generosity is not meant to be a burden. It comes from the overflow of our hearts, hearts that know the grace, love, and abundance of Jesus. We are an incredibly generous church. There are stories across this site and across the church of things being given. Food, bikes, you name it, it's happening. I know someone in this church who has been personally very, very blessed by someone who gave him a car. And his car had broken down. He didn't have the money to repair it. His livelihood depended on it. And he now drives a car that someone else was given to him. Generosity is such a blessing. It all starts with God. When we talk about generosity, we have to stop and remember that it all starts with God. He gives us everything that we've had, everything we currently have, and everything we ever will be given. He is a good father who loves to give us good gifts. God has given us in the last year some incredible gifts. James mentioned briefly last week that we're in the process of, we're in an advanced stage of agreement with a church in Blackwood about the gift of them giving us their church building for future kind of church and kingdom purposes. There will be a lot more details to come on that. Just want to let you know. But at this stage, it's a moment of outrageous generosity that is being given to us. More to come on that. As a church, as well, we have growing in our generosity. We regularly talk about people who give on a monthly basis to us to financially give to the church. In the last year, giving, by that means, has grown by 11%. And we are deeply, deeply grateful to all of you who are on that journey of giving with us. It makes such a difference because we want to be able to welcome more people. We want to be able to connect with more people. We want to bless more people. We want to serve more people. We want to baptize more people. As ever, there's always the invitation to give on a regular basis. And if you're in a position to do so, if you already give, to increase what you give. Or it might be that you're in a place to give a one-off. And one-off donations do make a huge difference. One thing that is happening in the next few weeks is that that roof right there is going to have some solar panels put on it, which is very exciting, isn't it? So hopefully there'll still be a roof there in the next few weeks. But yeah, we're really excited about that. At this stage as a church, obviously we're really excited about that in terms of our environmental impact and obviously the future savings that it gives to us. At this stage, we haven't quite been able to finance it. So if any generosity that comes in towards that will make a huge difference. The number one reason that people don't get around to giving is because they don't get around to giving. So if that's what the Lord is stirring on you this morning, then we really encourage you to do it. But we always say this, giving comes from a place of worship and it comes from a place of discipleship. There's no compulsion on anyone to give, but there is always the invitation. Let me finish where we started, which is this. Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. If you're able to, would you stand? We're going to finish. It's been a remarkable year. And I've had to whistle stop tour through all of that. There are so many stories that we could share that we haven't. Again, like I said at the start, it's not about us. It's about all the Lord is doing in us and through us. We are deeply grateful. But now we just want to have a moment to both consecrate ourselves and commission ourselves for the